Men dressed as monkeys, astronauts greeting aliens. It's the stuff of the fantasy world of theater in vogue in Baghdad. While Saddam flits between fabulous palaces, the average Iraqi faces severe shortages. But some are taking solace now in a new wave of officially sanctioned comedies and musicals. Naturally, Saddam and the state are way off limits. More from Dispatches contributor Hadani Ditmars.
I discovered Iraqi theater almost by accident, while on assignment for an American paper that wanted meaty political stories. I went to a play in Baghdad and found that theater pushes the envelope where the state-run press dares not tread. In a place where journalists are up against both the official Iraqi line and jingoistic CNN-style media, theater provides a unique window into Iraqi life. My guide to Baghdad's cultural scene is Sadiq Ali Shaheen, an aging film and theater star who looks like an Iraqi Maurice Chevalier. He knows everyone in the business. So what's going on in this play? Sadiq describes what's happening on stage. Then I turn to Ali, my government-assigned minder, who does the translation.
A student goes to a museum, a history museum.
Okay. Ali is puzzled by my interest in Iraqi theater, since most foreign journalists come here to do stories about chemical weapons. Tonight, we're at the National Theater. It was built in the 1970s and still has an air of grandeur, with a marble lobby and a portrait of Saddam Hussein graciously welcoming theatergoers. Meanwhile, the latest threats of American air raids on CNN, overheard on a television at the Ministry of Information, are not far from my mind. We're watching My Love is the Moon. The play is the brainchild of Haider Monate, a 30-year-old actor-director who is a rising star of Baghdad's theater scene. It features grand surrealist tableau that to an outsider might appear fantastic. The story is about a young man named Faraj who falls into a time warp, entering the world of the Ottomans shortly before the British took control of Iraq. Faraj falls in love with Kamar, a beautiful young woman preyed upon by the palace madam, Regina, who wants to sell her to the Sultan. The young lovers somehow end up in modern Baghdad, but not before some incredible scenes. One finds Faraj dressed in a monkey suit, performing in a circus in Istanbul. When he complains to the ringmaster that he is a man, not a monkey, he is told, "The people have paid just to see you dance, so dance." Then the Sultan, Regina, and their entourage watch as young Kamar dances. When she collapses in exhaustion, they begin to laugh, shouting, "Long live the Empire!" Tickets cost less than $1, and tonight the theater is packed. The audience is a mix of young theater students, fans of the director, old men in carefully pressed dinner jackets, and whole families out for a night on the town. A young mother, Alia, is at the theater with her husband and two young daughters.
They go to theater after the embargo more often than they used to, because we see that Iraq theater has developed a lot after the sanctions began, and it expresses the problems and difficulties of Iraqi life, of Iraqi people's lives.
Alia's husband explains the political context of the play. He tells me Iraq has suffered from occupation and colonialism, and the play shows that imperialist countries still have an eye on Iraq. Our next play is a musical comedy in a theater across town, in Baghdad's former warehouse district. The genre has become hugely popular in post-war Iraq. Even Saddam's novel, written last year, is being turned into a musical. I See With My Own Eyes has been running for 2 years. The humor is barbed, often black, and usually about the embargo. In the play, residents of a poor Baghdadi neighborhood build a rocket ship and head for outer space, where they encounter extraterrestrials. As they try to explain their life back home to the aliens, the dialogue is rife with ironic comments. One young man wants to marry a space girl, but complains that he can't afford to pay for the wedding, and being unemployed cannot support his future bride. In another scene, there is a loud explosion. A character comments, "You see, there was a bombing. Now, tomorrow, eggs will be twice as much. We must unite in the face of beastly powers." The beastly powers are both the imperialist bombers and the black marketeers. Still, while plays can criticize a certain level of corruption in Iraqi society or government, they can only go so far. Ironically, Baghdad's theater scene is flourishing partly because of the embargo. Films and film processing chemicals are blocked at the border as so-called dual-use items, that is, things that could have military use. Many cinemas have been reopened as theaters. The crowd spills into the lobby at intermission. Most are young men without families, Iraq's lost generation of angry teenagers who came of age knowing only war and sanctions. This is their big night out. I am one of the only women there and must stand between Sadiq and my minder at all times. I talked to a young man working the food kiosk in the lobby.
If he were to write a play, what would he write about in terms of Iraqi reality?
If I want to write, I write about sanctions and the circumstances we are living in. And due to this hardship, now people more careful for their money, and even if he has a brother or any or sister, they look after their money more, and because they need money to survive. To live.
He is not smiling. There is a group of young men gathering around us now. The minder makes a move towards the door, and we retreat outside to the empty parking lot where wild dogs roam among a few beat-up cars. The next morning, I catch a glimpse of another CNN broadcast at the Ministry of Information. That night, Sadiq takes me to meet playwright Mushanal Ali. He's known for the serious intellectual plays he wrote in the 70s, when Baghdad was one of the cultural capitals of the Arab world. Mushanal Ali tells me he's working on a script about Saladin called Someone Will Betray Jerusalem Tonight. The Muslim hero who reconquered Jerusalem arrives on the scene in 2002, a little surprised to find a Jewish state and a full-scale intifada. He tries to get into Jerusalem, but finds he doesn't have the right papers. Then he's refused entry into a nameless Arab land and delivers a long poetic soliloquy about stones.
He says, Salahuddin, ya awlad al-mashimannatina.
Salahuddin speaks of rocks thrown by children and breaks his own statue into small stones. He says that the stones are really pieces of Arab history and civilization, pieces of the pyramids, pieces of ancient Babylon. Their own culture and history, he says, is both the Arabs' best method of self-defense and a tool for peace. Esperanza, esperanza, solo Sadiq and I head for the Nouveau Riche neighborhood of Arasat al-Hindiye, where smugglers and UN employees dine and shop. Nearby, store windows bulge with big-screen TVs from Dubai that only those with hard currency can afford. We're there without my minder. Arasat offers a glimpse of Baghdad as a real-life theater of the absurd.
My way.
We go to a restaurant which has stone lions in its courtyard fountain. Their eyes are lit with green bulbs. The interior is designed like an Austrian ski chalet. My old pal, Wania Youssef, the resident lounge singer, greets us. When Wania was young, he was the star of Baghdad's thriving 70s jazz scene. Whenever I'm in town, he always gets me up to sing a few numbers with him. Besame Mucho is his favorite. Despite the bizarre surroundings, there is a certain sense of freedom and spontaneity here. After several days in Baghdad, I feel a strange relief as I watch the mustachioed men in Italian double-breasted suits smile and sing along with Wania.
Yesterday, when I was young, taste of love was sweet, as many upon my tongue.
But it's a cheesy 70s pop ballad, Yesterday When I Was Young, that gets me. Somehow there, in that restaurant, with earnest waiters in dinner jackets serving oil for food employees and sanctions profiteers, the music connects.
I live by night, I'm shining in the day. I don't know, I see how the years run away.
It captures the spirit of a place that has been bombed and deprived and could be bombed again in a way that official ministry statements and CNN pronouncements cannot.
And so much pain by the sad eyes refuse to see. I ran so fast the time. You are lost for now. I never.
For Dispatches, I'm Hadani Ditmars in Baghdad.
And every conversation I can never recall, silence over me.